everybody.
Hi, friends. Well, from beautiful Salt Lake City, Utah,
it's Thank God I'm Atheist,
where we explore religion, politics, and current events. Just a couple atheists trying to survive life in these United States.
I'm Frank Feldman.
And I'm Dan Beecher.
And coming up on the show today, it was just the U.S. Independence Day, the 4th of July, and it felt a little different this year. And
yeah,
we're gonna talk about that because that's interesting.
Even the fireworks were shooting a little low this year.
So we'll be talking about all of that. First, though, we got some news. We got some things that happened this week that we want to make sure you guys know about.
Yes.
I have Dan. This has to do with tips for Jesus, which. For those of you who maybe aren't familiar with the phenomenon, this was really big a couple years ago, where people were going into restaurants and leaving outlandish tips for the server and then sort of posting it on social media, and it would get a little bit of coverage in the local media, in the local, you know, news stations, which would send cameras out and talk to the server who was so excited to get $1,000 tip or a $2,000 tip or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And it was just so inspirational. The Christians were just feeling so good because clearly they're super generous.
Right. Yeah, that's what I always think of. Because I remember being a server, that brief period where I was one, and everybody being so excited about like how the religious people tipped.
Yeah.
And in our place it was Mormons, and
yeah,
boy, they were not generous.
Yeah. That's if you've ever waited tables and you had to work Sunday brunch, you knew the group that was gonna screw you.
I give the Lord 10%. Why would I give you more than that?
Well, this was, I think, some people trying to overcompensate for that, right. and get a little good press for Jesus in the process. Well, back in June of 2022, a man by the name of Eric Smith walked into Alfredo's Cafe in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and he ordered a Stromboli, and I guess he sat and ate it. And he got his ticket, and the total was $1,325, and he left $3,000. He wrote in $3,000 on the credit card slip.
Woo!
And the server, of course, was like, you know, of course she was really emotional and really excited, and she just couldn't believe how much he just tipped. And a very smart manager, or maybe owner, the article wasn't really clear, a guy by the name of Matt Martini, runs out after this guy, this Eric Smith, mm-hmm. and he verifies that he intended to leave $3,000.
Yeah.
And he also, and this was probably the smart move, he collected additional ID from Mr. Smith.
Okay.
And he had written on the check, tips for Jesus. So we know that this was somebody out there just throwing money around for Jesus' sake. And they felt like they had done everything they needed to do. And so they gave the server her $3,000, right?
Yeah.
And they probably had to, maybe it took a day or two, actually. They might have had to go to the bank to get that money.
Yeah.
Anyway, super cool. She's excited. Everybody's feeling good. And then a few weeks later, the cafe received a letter from the credit card company saying that the charge was being disputed.
And imagine my amount of shock. I might have a heart attack right now from all of the shock of this happening.
So this guy got a little carried away. He was feeling the spirit.
Yeah.
And was just like, yeah, oh God, I'm so inspired. I'm going to join and do this too. And then he forgot that he didn't have that kind of money to be thrown around for Jesus's sake. And it's maybe just, there's something
it's
that
just ripoffs for Jesus. I don't, he didn't even, he knew this was his plan the whole time.
Maybe. So this puts the cafe in a really tough situation, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, they've given the server her money and they are now having to give the credit card company $3,000 to cover that. And so they are, of course, suing him.
Good.
Which is absolutely the right thing to do. Because like the community was really, you know how communities can be pretty awesome. They did a GoFundMe they wanted to like rally around the owners of this cafe and kind of help them out because they'd realized how screwed they'd gotten.
Yeah.
And the owners were like, no. No, we're suing him.
Good. I actually love that.
I think that is 100% the correct move. No. Thank you for your generosity. We don't like the situation of like losing $3,000.
But we're fine. We're going to wreck this dude's life. Yeah,
we're fine. We have survived this. We're going after this asshole.
Oh, and so, that is brilliant.
Yeah. And so I just felt so good about that because, you know, here's my tip for Jesus. Don't tell your followers to go out and leave big tips that they can't afford.
Yeah.
It's just wrong. That's wrong. What an asshole.
I mean, Jesus encourage generosity.
Yeah.
And I'm all about that.
But, blessed are the tip givers. I mean, that's a big part of the.
It's so dumb.
Blessed are the gratuitous.
The gratuitous gratuities. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, I'm not shocked at all by that. I'm going to take us now to the Holy Land. To Israel.
Mm.
Which hasn't been tremendously holy lately.
No.
It's been a minute since they were since I thought of them as,
I don't know. I was trying to come up with they've been making lots of holes, but I don't think that.
Oh,
actually,
God. No, nope.
That doesn't really work. Does it?
Nope. That's not great. Not great. So here's the deal. We've talked many times about the chief rabbinate, of Israel, which is a quasi governmental thing.
It's important, Dan.
It's a department of the Israeli government.
Okay.
And it's run by two chief rabbis. Traditionally, one is Ashkenazi and the other is the other kind.
Haredi or something?
I think it's both Haredi. Sephardic.
So
you got one Sephardic, one Ashkenazi, and basically, you know, they control a lot about how daily life occurs in Israel. Even for those who aren't Jewish. So, you know, we've talked about how they control marriage laws and how they control, like, there's a whole bunch of shit that they just decide. And then regardless of if you're a practicing believing Jew or you are a secular person who is under their rule, you have to sort of abide by it.
Right.
And it's dumb. It's bad. This is not a good way to run a country, but there it is. It's right there. Pretty, you know, standard in the Middle East, in Southwest Asia, but there you go. Well, there are no chief rabbis as of right now.
Oh no. What happened?
Because, the term of the chief rabbis is supposed to be 10 years, and the two chief rabbis, David Lau and Yitzhak Yosef, were chief rabbis for 11 years because there was a whole thing about they were given an extra year because they were
doing a great job.
There were other elections happening, and they didn't want to sully the election of new chief rabbis with the election of, like, politicians or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it ends up working, but They ended up putting it off for a year.
Okay.
But their tenure did lapse, and they are now out. But they're holding up the election of new chief rabbis. And there's a lot, you know, sort of behind the scenes stuff. I did a bunch of research about this just to figure out like what's really going on here. But one of the main holdups is the thing that we ended up talking about just a month or two ago, which is that the country's Supreme Court ruled that they have to sort of, well, basically it ruled that they have to consider allowing women in as rabbis to be a part of the voting body that elects the chief rabbis.
They don't have to allow. They have to consider allowing.
They have to consider allowing. Okay. They were very generous. And the people on the rabbis on the board that like convenes the thing, I don't know who was what, but they said no. No. They are taking a principled stand against considering that women could be rabbis.
Oh, okay.
Now, women are rabbis, to be clear.
Yeah.
There are plenty of Jewish traditions that are fine with women rabbis. I don't know plenty. There's at least one because there are women rabbis.
Yeah.
But, you know, the minority Haredi ultra-Orthodox faction of Israel has the power in these sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And and they won't hear of it.
Not even the discussion.
You
literally won't hear of it. We will not like, even hear a discussion about this.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Mm. Look, they can't even grow beards. Most of them.
How could they make any important decisions?
How could they possibly be able to interpret the Torah if they have a uterus? It seems obvious on its face that you can't do that.
Yeah, indeed.
So there you go. They don't have this hasn't happened since the 1920s, but Israel currently has no chief rabbi.
And they, I don't know how they're going to get by, but
I know
we will.
What will they do? Will society grind to a halt?
Yeah. Oh, my thoughts and prayers are just with them.
Damn. Yeah.
All right.
So much.
Well, I want to go to, and actually I do want to go to the Maldives. But for this story, for those of you who don't know, the Maldives are apparently beautiful chain of islands along right around the equator in the Indian Ocean.
Good snorkeling.
Nice little place. Largely Muslim nation. But it's also it's known for its stable government. They have a decent government, apparently.
Good for them.
So this story kind of caught a few people by surprise. The Minister for Environment, Climate Change, and Energy, which is actually a really important government position because Maldives is obviously being a chain of islands. In an era of climate change and, you know, rising ocean levels, sea levels, they are going to be bearing the brunt of climate change.
They're disappearing.
And so they, this is very important. They need somebody, of, you know, sound mind, I suppose, and fully a capable person in this position. Well, they had in the position someone by the name of Fatima Shamnaz Ali Salim. She was, let's just get to what she's been accused of.
Yes.
Apparently, she has been performing black magic on the president. President Mohammed Muzu Salim. And this is somebody that she's worked with for quite some time. When he was mayor of Malé, she was on the city council. Mm. And when he got elected to the president's office, she followed along and was appointed to this very important position. But she has been suspended from her position. She has been arrested for her black magic, along with Adam Ramiz, who's a minister in the president's office. And there's two unnamed relatives of hers that have also been arrested. And this is really like catching a lot of people off guard, as sorcery is not an actual criminal offense in their penal code. But dun dun dun, enter Islam.
Yeah.
And the Sharia law does carry a 6-month jail sentence in the country. So
you gotta love modern day actual like witch hunts.
It's an actual like, witch hunt. Yeah.
Literal.
Yep. Yep. Oh, she, Lord. You know, she was in a meeting, her head spun around and she started vomiting and they just didn't know what it was. And, clearly not. But yeah, the details are a little thin as to like what she was trying to achieve with the black magic. And again, allegedly even attempt like this, like he probably doesn't like her. Right.
Yeah.
She was probably, I don't know, getting a little uppity. Right.
That's why you accuse a woman of witchcraft.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
everybody knows
she's starting to get more power than you're comfortable with. And you want to have more power than she does. And
so, yeah, put her in her place. And so wild.
Yeah.
Total wild black time magic. In Maldives. And again, I don't know, maybe I want to go there a little less.
Yeah. But,
it does look beautiful.
I have a family member who is in the military, who is stationed in, Saudi Arabia right now.
Oh, really?
And frankly, where this family member gets stationed, we like to go. Because, you know, they end up all over the world. That's why we ended up in Bogota, Colombia at one point.
Okay.
It's like a great excuse. You know, they usually have room. So it's a great excuse to go and visit a place that isn't necessarily on your list. But I'm a traveler. I enjoy seeing places no matter what. But I also know that in Saudi Arabia, being an atheist is punishable by death. And it's like, they probably wouldn't do that to me if I kept my mouth shut and didn't like blab atheism at people, they'd probably be fine. But also they definitely look into people when they, you know, when they apply for a visa.
And you're on a list, Dan.
They may not let me in.
Yeah.
And if they let me in, I will be watched. So yeah, I wasn't excited to get to Saudi.
Yeah, I wouldn't go to Saudi Arabia. Never. Yeah. Never. Travel is a tricky one, right? Like for atheists. And then you layer on for me the gay thing, and like we were thinking about a trip to Jamaica. Started looking into it. We will not be going to Jamaica. Not a safe place for gay people. And it's just like, all right, well, that's too bad because it looks beautiful and we would love to go there. But, you know, there's also safety.
Yeah.
And so I look at it, and I guess for me, it's I look at a place like a Islamic majority country and I'm like, I don't want to go there because I want to travel with my husband. Right.
Yeah.
And
100%.
And like, I don't care that like there have been press releases from a lot of these places saying, oh, we welcome everybody. Everybody's welcome. It's like, yeah, you want my money, but that doesn't mean everybody's going to be great once we're there.
Am I allowed to kiss my partner in public? Because fuck you if not.
Well, and if we were there, I definitely would not. Yeah. So,
yeah. Yep. All right. Well, I am going, you know, of Lourdes, in France, the,
oh yeah,
the beautiful place where there was a big old miracle and now there's a shrine and there's all sorts of, pilgrimages thereunto, and they've made big, big monuments and a basilica and a cathedral or whatever. Anyway, it's a big Catholic place and it's very important to some very silly people. And it's got a problem.
What's that?
They don't know. Well, here's the thing. One of the things that they have at Lourdes and at many different Catholic locations around the world, they have mosaics by a Jesuit priest artist named Marco Rupnik.
Okay.
And you know, these are intricately created pieces of art that adorn the exterior and interior of various buildings, including the a huge, you know, 5-story, 6-story high mosaic out on the main facade of the Church of Our Lady of the Canadian Martyrs in Rome. I don't know where that is.
Canadian Martyrs?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. There you go. But also, yeah, Lourdes and all these, Lourdes and all these other places. Anyway, turns out that Rupnik was a shitbag. You know, that doesn't surprise anybody, but because he was a priest. But yes, he was molesting women all over, left and right.
Yeah.
Including the like nuns that he had helping him on his mosaics while he was working on the mosaics. He has been accused by over 20 women of, well, this article says psychological, spiritual, and sexual abuses over decades.
Jesus Christ.
He hasn't responded to these allegations. He's no longer a Jesuit priest. He has been expelled by the Jesuits.
Good on the Jesuits. All right. But what about his art, Dan? What about these mosaics?
Well, that's the question, right? First of all, can I just say, I do not like his art. I am not a fan.
Oh, really?
I looked up a bunch of his mosaics, and it's just like, he definitely has a style.
Okay.
He has his own style. I don't appreciate it. I think it's sort of cartoony. It, you know, it usually depicts people, and all the people have huge black eyes and tiny little mouths, and it looks stupid. I don't like his art. Anyway,
okay.
There are many who do like his art, but alas, what does one do when the artist is tainted in this way? For now, those in charge at Lourdes have decided that they won't light his mosaics at night. There's not much they could do about the sun, so it will be lit in the daytime. They didn't want to like tear it down. I mean, look, I could appreciate the position that they're in, where like a good percentage of the population that goes there has now fallen in love with this and associated these artworks with this very important place to them.
Yeah.
And so, and human beings do not like change. But, they seem to think that eventually it'll come down. They just have to like sort of tamp down everyone's love for it for a while, and then they'll dismantle it.
Really?
Is what they're kind of hinting at.
But it's not that they're going to let sort of the controversy die down and just let them stay up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing. I think a lot of the victims are pushing.
Oh, still. Okay. Right.
Like I said, including nuns who are like, this is, every time I look at this, this, guess what I remember?
Yeah. Oh God. I mean, I while you were talking, I pulled up some images, and Yeah, I can see Catholics really liking these images.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they sort of invoke, there's kind of something sort of Byzantine about yeah, it's not like pre-Renaissance type religious art, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, wild. All right. Well, cool. That sucks for Lourdes.
So we'll see what happens.
They spent all that money.
Yeah.
Right. And, getting those. And
yeah. When you invest in structural art, it's not easy. It's not, it's also like, you can't just pull it off the wall and put it in and store it somewhere.
Right.
You basically have to destroy it to remove it. And they should, you know what I mean? Like
eventually. Yeah. I suppose they need to,
if you're taking it down, you might as well just get rid of it.
Yeah.
But
I mean, it would be hard to keep. It's mosaics. Yep. Right. Like,
yeah. If it were absolutely precious and there were no, it was many, many, you know, it was 2000 years old, but it needed to be moved. They would take it down like tile by tile and mark each tile where it went. Sure. And so that they could put it back together or whatever. But I don't think they'll do that with this guy.
All right. Well, Dan.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of The Meeting House?
I've heard of a meeting house. I've heard of many meeting houses.
This is the meeting house.
Oh.
It's a mega church up in Canada, out in the Toronto suburbs.
Ooh.
A couple years ago, one of their pastors, Bruxy Cavey, was his name.
Bruxy
Cavey. He resigned after allegations of sexual misconduct came out, and there was the church brought in an independent investigation team or whatnot that came in and just sort of looked through and kind of find out what the state of things were at the meeting house, get their meeting house in order, right?
Mm.
And they found that there were at least three other former pastors at this point, that had been involved collectively in at least 38 reports of sexual misconduct, which you think at a certain point would just shut the place down, right?
No,
would run screaming because this place has a problem.
Nope. Again, once somebody has like attached themselves to a thing, once you can't make them dislike that thing.
I know. The meeting house is temporarily closed.
What?
Because they cannot get abuse insurance. There is not an insurer in Canada, or now they've looked internationally,
will
insure this church against abuse liability.
Lloyd's of London is like, nah, you guys are way too rapey for us. We can't do it.
That's exactly right.
Oh my god.
They've shut down in-person meetings because they can't they don't want to accept the liability of having any of their staff around people.
Good god.
Because I mean that's what it is. Like if it's just insurance, right?
Yeah.
You could open your doors. You know, this isn't like fire insurance or you know, other kinds of liability insurance where it's like, you know, physical harm, you know, and where you probably is really ill advised to open the doors. But they have reached the point with abuse that they are at that same point. They are they do not trust themselves enough.
They are beyond the point. Like it's basically like saying, well, you know, whether or not we need the fire insurance, we're going to have a fire. So that is insane.
Yeah.
These insurance companies are just saying,
mm-mm.
No, I understand the risk,
Yeah.
And
we don't want to take
There's no it. Chance that we come out on top of this mess.
You cannot pay us enough ensure any of your staff.
And they close their doors, which means that they agree.
Yes.
They're like, well, we're not going to take that chance.
Right. No. They are unwilling to take the risk. Right. They know that they got some touchy-feely people, not to, you know, make light of it.
To minimize, yeah.
They got some people that they're just like, I don't know, Pastor Rick, I don't know. I don't know who to trust anymore.
Yeah, it's almost too bad because here's what you guys got to do. You got to find one of these mega churches. Well, if you are a safe, secure person who does not already have trauma around these things, go get yourself fondled, and the payout is going to be great.
Oh my God, Dan!
That's our new way of taking down the mega churches.
That's really,
you have to donate sick. A percentage of your of the take to the to the atheist community, but. Go get yourself fondled if you can handle it.
Yeah. No, that's pretty amazing. Well, I was just thinking that maybe they could put the pastors in some sort of confined, like in Science of the Lambs when they wheel out what's his bucket, right? He's got the mask on, he's a straight jacket, and they have him on a little cart. Like, couldn't you just have the pastors
I am surprised we haven't seen that. Not like the pastor coming out sort of thinking he's being so cheeky, thinking he's being so clever because they're trying to silence us. And uh-huh. They're trying to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I'm genuinely surprised we haven't seen that. Being wheeled out on a hand truck.
Yeah. Because I would feel safe around a pastor. If he was in a straight jacket, sure, why not?
Oh my gosh. I just looked up the this church and I saw a picture, an image of the pastor that you were talking about, their first main guy. And he's got a tattoo on his arm of Leviticus, and I looked up, it was Leviticus 19. How clever is this? He had a tattoo of the of the verse that says, "You shall not make any gashes in your flesh for the dead, or tattoo any marks upon you."
Oh, okay.
He had a tattoo and of the scripture
of that.
That wasn't a red flag. He was, look how edgy he is.
Yeah,
that's a really big funny. Bold tattoo of the scripture that prohibits tattoos.
Huh, that's funny. Now, the picture that came with this article, I was like, oh, he's in the cast of the Red Green Show, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, nobody knows what you're talking about.
That's for you Canadians.
Yeah, and the all the Gen X and older PBS watchers or whatever. Wherever we ended up seeing that, we nerds. Anyway, well, I'm going to keep us in Canada and close us out with some good news, which is that due to the persistence and vigilance of the British Columbia Humanist Association, which they must be, they are doing the Lord's work. They must be the most persistent people out there. They have gone from a province out there in British Columbia where in 2015... what happened in 2015 was that the Canadian Supreme Court ruled unanimously that a city in Quebec had violated citizens' rights by using prayer at the beginning of their council meetings.
Okay.
So theoretically, that should have applied instantly to the whole country. Like, don't do that. But a whole bunch of municipalities continued to do it. And the British Columbia Humanist Association released a report back in 2020. We may have talked about it. I don't remember. That said that of the like 162 municipalities in that province, 23 of them were still doing prayers.
Oh, wow.
And wow. These humanists sent out emails and letters and just kept pushing and kept saying, you got to stop doing this. This is against the law. You got to stop doing this. And eventually they were whittling them down and whittling them down. And they just made sure that they were keeping track.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they kept track of when they sent letters. They kept track of when they sent second letters. They kept track of when they got responses or if they didn't get responses.
Mm-hmm.
And they just kept the pressure on.
Okay.
And as of now, the entire province is prayer-free in their meetings. And, you know, they were also doing it like when they would inaugurate a mayor or whatever.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Including in Vancouver, which is the big city.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. They won. They did it.
Woohoo!
They got rid of, like, it's not like they got rid of prayer.
No.
But they at least made it so that, like, you know, citizens didn't have to sit through a prayer that they didn't believe in to a God they didn't believe in.
Right.
In, you know, before a meeting that was about, like, where the goddamn fire hydrants go.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, this is not related one thing to another. So, hooray. Good job, you guys. Way to take charge and be vigilant and make the world a slightly better place.
I think it's great.
Yeah. I'm very proud of you guys. I know that some of these humanists from BC listen to the show, so well done. I'm proud of you. And then if any of you out there, listeners, have comments about this or about any of the things that we've talked about on the show so far, you may write into us podcast@thankgodimatheist.com
or call and leave us a voicemail message. The telephone number is 424-666-8442. Stick around. There's more show coming up.
Well, Frank, we had some folks write into us.
Yeah.
We haven't had any callers in for a minute. That's fine, but we do like to hear your voices out there, friends. So yeah. Remember that you can call in.
Yeah.
And let us know. We don't play all of your things, so don't be offended.
Yeah.
But do call in. It's 424-666-8442. We had some good emails, some missives from outside in the world there. So Peggy wrote into us to say, "Dear Frank and Dan, I'm so glad you talked about the Biden situation on the show. I thought you might be interested in an event meant to counter fear and anger. There's going to be a City of Love meditation on July 17th during the National the Republican National Convention being held in Milwaukee."
Yeah, okay.
Below is the press release. And it's just meditatemilwaukee.com if you're in the Milwaukee area. I guess I just wanted to bring this up because take the steps that you need to take to be able to handle this your life right now.
Yeah, and meditation, I mean, that's great.
Meditation is a very useful thing.
Yeah.
And I actually have been doing some lately.
Oh, really?
Myself, just to
still
just to try to get a handle on the doom thoughts that creep in when you're not careful.
I don't know. I find doom scrolling to be meditative.
Doom scrolling, sure. Absolutely.
I just sit and ponder how miserable
the world, the universe is.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Casey, thanks to Peggy for that. Casey wrote in to say, "You guys always cheer me up." Oh, that's nice. Maybe we're the meditation, Frank. Hmm. Did you ever think of that? Anyway, Casey says, "I'm so glad to continue to podcast. I've been copying and pasting a link for your podcast on my Substack on the regular.
Hmm.
Who knows if people are interested, but how can I not share this joy with others?" And I decided to read this because I wanted to remind everybody that you can share our show with people, with friends, family, you know, it's with your Substack or with your, you know, it would help us. So Casey, thank you so much for sending that out into the world. We appreciate it.
Indeed.
Anne wrote into us and says, "Hi Frank and Dan, I was listening today and heard the letter about the community patrol. You remember this? The pretend cops that were going out in the world." Anne says, "We just moved from a small town in central Washington, which had something similar. It was the sheriff's posse, and they basically were unofficial cops. They were even given shirts with badges sewn on that said posse on them."
Oh, God.
They looked like badges on uniforms of the local police. Shirts were the same colors as well. They were even given radios that tuned into the EMS channels so they could respond when called upon. The group was started as a local narc group to report suspicious activity as well as help with directing traffic and crowd control. But since most were retired military and cops or excitable gun owners, probably a lot of those, they began to act more like cops. At one point, a person ran through the snow to the police because the posse was chasing them down in their private vehicles and the person feared for their life.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Their responses became so problematic, the police and response coordinators had to be trained to tell them to stand down and not respond. It didn't help. And since we left 3 years ago, I can only imagine it's become worse. While the posse may not have been exclusively Christian, most were buddies from the local IFB church or went to one of the other churches. The sheriff posted a letter during COVID about how his authority came from God, and it was so disturbing. And they actually included a link to this Facebook post, which is still up, by the way, and it is horrifying. It was one of these posts that was like our Constitution, blah, 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 and then presents wild misinterpretations of our Constitution and blatant, flagrant, like just lies about what the Constitution says and what it's about.
Right.
And then it says, "And because of this, I'm defying the state orders to, you know, about how we're going to handle this pandemic," et cetera,
right, right.
"Because the freedom. What about the freedom?" So there you go. Yes, Anne says, "All that to say, when looking for these groups, they may be something more official and have other titles. I think it's good to keep an eye on the local sheriff's pages as they will post things like this or start these groups and expect only support. If a sheriff states that they're a, quote, constitutional sheriff, it's definitely code for Christian nationalist at this point."
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's not always great, the mentality that leads a person into policing. It's not always terrible, but it's usually terrible. Like, it's usually not a good state of mind.
You doubt the motivations of our police force?
Some of them, yes. Okay. Yes, indeed. So, keep an eye on your local police and fake police, please.
Especially the fake police. Holy cow.
that's pretty scary.
That's just vigilante.
Although, listen, I'm not going to say I haven't, personally fantasized about becoming a, like, about having some sort of chance to pull over asshole drivers I would love citizens' authority to, you know, to ticket people who drive like maniacs, but
yeah,
I don't want that program to actually exist because I know who would sign up and it would not end up going well.
All right.
So there you go. Do we have some folks to thank?
We do indeed, Dan. We had some people sign up this week as new patrons on Patreon. Woohoo! They went to our website, thankgodimatheist.com/donate. And then there's actually options to do Patreon or PayPal. And so whatever floats your boat, there's also a little nice little reminder there to leave some kind 5-star reviews of the show.
That's not a bad way to be kind to us.
Yeah. And so so we have a new teacher this week by the name of Daniel.
Daniel, that's a great name. You must be very handsome.
And we have a new priest by the name of Douglas.
Wonderful.
So thank you to the both of you for your support, and thank you to everybody else who continues to support the show. We sure do appreciate the help and whatnot in you know, helping us to keep the show running. So
yeah.
And as always, Dan, we have our top donor to thank, our Lord and Savior, Davis.
More show coming up. Well, Frank.
Dan.
It was this last week, the 4th of July.
What a day.
You were busy parading.
I was, yeah.
You as someone who works on a campaign now.
Yeah, I knew I'd have to go to a parade. I didn't know I'd have to go to all the parades.
I am on the record as being mystified and baffled by the whole concept of parades. I don't understand them. I don't know what they are. I don't know what they're for.
It's tradition. They're fun. They're fun, Dan.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so you were able to see a little more sort of wacky Americana than I was this year.
Yeah. 'Cause
I did not go to any parades. Yeah. But what I did do was I went to in Andrea's family. 4th of July is the big one. That's everybody gets together, extended family. They all come together and have a big party. There's events all through the day for various levels of extended family. Mm-hmm. There was bowling at the beginning. There's a picnic for lunch, and then there's another smaller picnic for a smaller a smaller group of the family for dinner. And it's just they make a whole thing of it.
Yeah,
which is great. But I will say this, and this is a sort of palpable this year.
Okay.
Not a mention of the United States of America at any of these events. No one talked about it. No one said a word. No one wanted to make anyone uncomfortable. Like, I think the mood in this country is bad.
Yeah.
About this country specifically. And understandably so. I don't think anyone will be particularly baffled by this.
Right. Well, and it's important to point out the sort of the political leanings of the people that you were hanging out with.
Because yes.
like you described that, and I imagine myself on sort of the same day, out with friends and whatnots. And we're all on the political left, right?
Right.
And there's been for quite some time just sort of an ambivalence about patriotism and big displays of rah rah go go America,
right?
In sort of amongst my ilk, right?
If you don't love America, get the fuck out.
I don't know that that's ever really fallen across the lips of any of my friends.
Right.
And so and we did, that's kind of after the parades, I went and gathered with more my people at that point. And we went to a brewery, a local brewery,
and a brouhaha.
Yeah, and it, and as expected, that crowd there, I didn't see people with their. Oh, there was one person wearing like a an American flag jumpsuit.
as you do,
as you do, and that was like the only thing, right?
Yeah,
that was rah rah America in the room, and but your group that you were with, Dan, not more, that group,
more diverse, yeah. And probably right leaning,
right.
If we were to unbalance, probably pretty far right leaning in general, mostly Mormon, and
typically in years past, a lot of.
A lot. You're going to see red, whites, and blues. You're going to see people with their America, you know, plates, their America, you know, paper tablecloths.
They went to Old Navy and got the American flag T-shirt of the summer.
Right. All of that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, people be talking about America or whatever. It did not feel like no one was even tempted. to discuss to like the subject, nobody wanted to touch it with a 10-foot pole. This is an election year. You would think that it would be, you know, some asshole uncle's gonna bring it up. You know what I mean? Like, that's what happens at these events.
Well, especially after that debate.
Oh,
like,
my
they
God.
Should be like
running
victory, you know, like laps
literally.
Right now.
You know, right. Sorry we didn't bring anything for the picnic except gloat salad. Like, you would think.
Right.
But here's the thing. I think the right, the, you know, the extreme, the people on the right have been, have all been radicalized by their sort of insular media to the point where and the way they've been radicalized is fear-mongering, constant barrage, never ending, like, fear-mongering. You know, the gays and the drag queens are grooming your children, the trans people are coming for your sports, the this and the that and the everything's evil, and the abortionists are murderers and they're feeding themselves your children for adrenochrome or what, and it's just a constant and like literally liberal has become as bad a word as murderer in those circles, and I think they're fatigued.
Well,
I think they are worn the fuck out by all of this terrorizing.
At a certain point, how do you be proud to be an American, right?
Right. America allows all of these horrors.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
All of these monsters. And then on our side of the aisle, it's not like we've been barraged with fear mongering. We've just been like paying attention. And now we're terrified too. Because the Supreme Court has decided that the president is the king now. And. The like everything's falling apart and Project 2025 is real and they're just out in the open defending it. And
yeah.
Oh my God. Like, you don't have to monger that fear. That fear just comes all by its damn self.
Yeah. 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 Well, it's, but then also couple that with a tradition of just some ambivalence about, you know, patriotism in general, right?
Yeah.
And so it's just like,
well, patriotism is stupid. that's the main thing here, is that, like, if you think about it, you know, 99% of people in this country are citizens by an accident of birth,
right?
Through no action that they took,
right?
And to be proud of that is just kind of bizarre. If you want to take pride in your place of in the place where you live, you would think you'd want to make it better and, like, you know, make sure, like, no one's on the right is talking about this, but, like, if you want to take pride in your country, get bragging rights about how no one's going hungry and everyone has a place to live and the economy's going well and everyone's well educated and all this stuff, but they're literally working hard and furiously to dismantle all of those things.
Yeah, they don't like education. They want the freedom to be as sick as they possibly can be.
It's absurd.
It's also sort of just tough times in America because it's the two Americas thing that's happening with the economy right now, right? Where you have the economy works for a lot of people and it doesn't work for a lot of people, right?
Right.
And but seemingly
it doesn't work for significantly more than it does work for.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the points here is that, I mean, and we've made this point before, but I'm trying to tie this all back to the religious thing. And it's not like I'm not stretching here. This is absolutely the case. What is happening is the right wing of this country has tied itself to Christian popularism, Christian nationalism.
Mm-hmm.
And their arguments are so absurd. But because they've tied it to this religion, they have discovered that they don't have to make real arguments. They can just say big, scary platitudes, and people are, Christian, religious people are so used to meaningless platitudes that they accept them. They don't question them. I mean, and I, you know, one of the things I could point this out, I've talked about how I do these little Facebook live events where I just go and talk to randos on TikTok live. And I go and I talk to the randos on TikTok, and you know, they always bring up the same old things, and then I bring up, but you know, if they end up talking about something like, say, the problem of evil, which is just, you know, why would a loving, all-powerful God allow awful bullshit on this planet? They can't. If they say, well, we needed free will, so, you know, that's our fault. And I say, well, why didn't he just create us perfect so that we don't have to, so that humans don't feel compelled to do the dumb things or the evil things or whatever. They're like, well, then we wouldn't have free will. And I'd say, well, does God have free will? Yes, but he doesn't do those things. Well, then we'd just be robots. Like, they literally can't be brought to a logical position.
Right.
They hold their ground. Like, the absurdity of their position can be blatantly pointed out to them.
Right.
And it doesn't matter. And so, I have a lot of sympathy for people who believe absurd, awful things, only because I have downgraded my view of humanity so far that I just realize how idiotic we all are, and we're just not capable of much better. That isn't to say that we shouldn't try to be better.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, I understand why you're being so crazy. Because you've been lulled, you've been taught to stop thinking as soon as certain thoughts and questions come up. You've been trained to do it that way your whole life.
This is a good pep talk.
Where
was the it was Milwaukee, is that where the meditation thing is?
Yeah, go everyone go to Milwaukee. Don't listen to me. Go find your meditation.
Get some Dan's bringing it all with the mood down a little bit.
All I'm saying is ramp up your compassion by lowering your expectations. I think that's my new Buddhist philosophy. Others may, your mileage may vary.
Wow. I mean, you can, guess it'd be this is an exercise in lowering expectations.
Yes, sir.
And
yes, sir.
I don't know about that, Dan.
Good.
I don't know. I don't know about how I feel about the way to survive is, and to maintain sanity is to lower my expectations in humanity.
I don't think I promised sanity. I don't think that's what I promised with any of this.
Well, whatever it is that you're promising, like you, it's this kind of a bummer of a deal, right?
Yeah.
Where well, yeah, everybody, you can always have the best meal of your life if you're just expecting a shit sandwich, right? Yeah,
exactly.
And so
I'm pretty sure the Buddha said that. I'm pretty sure that that's, I don't think, maybe not in those exact words, but I'm pretty sure that's part of it. I don't know. You guys can set me straight if you want to. Feel free to write into us. Look, we'll leave it at that, and you fix this, you listeners out there. Please help us. I'm clearly not okay.
Yeah, this is, I think that's the takeaway here is, let's help Dan, everyone.
Everyone help me. Please feel free to write into us, podcast@thankgodimatheist.com.
Or call and leave us a voicemail message. The telephone number is 424-666-8442. We're serious. Call us.
Call us, yeah. We want to hear your voice. To support the show, go to thankgodimatheist.com/donate and give us your money.
Roger Gowdy edits the show, and the music is provided by the Red Rock Hot Club and Gordon Johnston.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning in, y'all. We sure do appreciate you.
Thanks so much, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank God I'm Atheist is a production of TGIA Media, LLC, copyright 2024, all rights reserved.